FAM Radio Network.
Mostly boys that were third and fourth grade, and they start out like really mistrustful and kind of hostile. This is going to be some baby thing. But then when we did these hurdles and it was really a physical challenge for them to do, they got very motivated.
Welcome to Music and Learning. I am Marianne Harmon.
Hello, Hap. Thank you for being here, and welcome, Debbie, for sitting in as well. There are teachers who are having a hard time with children learning or grasping onto material in the classroom because they are distracted. They can't or won't sit still. But, Hap, you found a way to work with these children who experience these challenges. Can you tell our listeners how you've been able to adapt to this type learner?
When I first started teaching, I was playing folk songs of the day, and I was trying to get the children to sit down, listen and pay attention, and they kept wanting to jump up and move. And that's when I started writing songs that took advantage of children's natural desire to be actively involved. And each song was something that they get up and they participate with rather than just passively listen. And I'm kind of the same way myself, you know, I like to jump up and move around a lot. So it's been a real fun way to do it.
How did the children respond?
They really enjoyed it. And so often when I go into a class, children get such a kick out of being able to get up and move around and not being told to sit still and just to write on a sheet of paper or something like that, to get up and express things using their whole body. I see a lot of joy.
Debbie, would you like to make a comment here?
I truly believe from my time in the classroom as an elementary music teacher that children absolutely learn by being actively engaged with their whole body. And I was fortunate enough to use a lot of HAPS materials when I was a classroom music teacher. And, you know, things like learning 3-4 time and swaying their bodies back and forth to Walter the Waltzing Worm and just feeling that time in their whole bodies would really help to convey the concept and make it part of them.
Yes, I agree. I have had similar experiences. Hap, what advice can you give teachers who are unsure of how to use music to work with our kinesthetic learners, the ones who won't or can't sit still?
Well, that's what I've tried to do with my recordings, and hopefully teachers can put on a recording and move with it and really help the kids feel welcome and free to be able to move. I should say that also sometimes control of the classroom can become an issue when you get everybody up and moving. So often when I'm doing a music and movement session, I'll start with just something really simple like, when you hear the music, move just your fingers. And when the music stops, freeze. We get the idea of a signal for when you move and when you stop moving. And little tricks like this will help to keep enough order so that there can be freedom for everyone to move and participate.
And a lot of times people think it's just behavior that you're working on, but many of your songs, and some that I really like, the moving to add and subtract, where they're getting up and moving to actually learn a math concept. Can you share with the listeners, because parents can do this as well as teachers, how you came upon starting to expand into math concepts and spelling concepts?
You know, I was just trying to come up with ways of showing some of these mathematical principles in a very concrete way. And when you lay the numbers out on the floor and you have the children jump up and down the number line, show what is happening when you're adding and when you're subtracting. So, for example, if you say 4 and they jump 4 times and land by a number card each time, so that they end up by the number 4. And then if you say +3, they jump 3 more times and end up by the number 7. Or if you say -2, they jump backwards and they can just see in a concrete way what is happening when you're adding and subtracting. So it's not just a rote memorization of facts, but they actually get a concrete idea of what is happening when you add and subtract.
We talk mostly about early childhood and the younger children, and I know that the majority of your songs are geared there. But what about the children that are 9, 10, 11? Teachers listening might say, well, you know, HAP stuff's good, but I can't use that type of music and play a guitar and stuff with the older kids. They just won't want to do it. Well, we know that's not true, so can you say something on that?
I can. For a long while, my oldest daughter was teaching third and fourth grade, and I came in regularly and did music and movement activities with them, and they really loved them. And there are ways that you can adapt things to make them extra challenging. For example, I have one called the 30-second challenge, where the idea is to run back and forth and jump over hurdles and collect numbers in order, or else collect the answers of different addition problems and get back and to get through all the numbers within 30 seconds. So with the older children, very simple, just make the hurdle higher, and it becomes very challenging to them. I remember once being in a class of, it was mostly boys that were third and fourth grade, and they start out like really mistrustful and kind of hostile. This is going to be some baby thing. But then when we did these hurdles and it was really a physical challenge for them to do, they got very motivated. I find that the third and fourth graders are not as interested in imaginative things like let's be a tree in the wind or something like that, but they really like the more physical, real challenges. And they also like the rhythm instrument kind of things, where there would be specific rhythms and beats to see if they could match and that kind of thing.
Good. That was good information. Thank you for sharing. Your lyrics have reassured many children over the years and have been a helpful tool to parents and teachers as well. Usually we close by my asking for a closing statement, but I thought maybe with you we would ask about a closing lyric.
I'm kind of going back to the question you asked earlier, and I just wanted to read some parts of a very touching letter that I received from someone. Anyway, this person writes, "I am a children's librarian in Aurora, Illinois, and I've used so much of your music in the story time, but the song I'd like to thank you for is the Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star one." And in this song, I had taken Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, and I added a part in the middle of it with new lyrics and another musical phrase, where I use a quotation from Shakespeare describing the moon called Silver Bow, Now Bent, New Bent in Heaven. And she says it grabbed me when I first heard it because my daughter teaches Shakespeare to college students. And then she said she always ends all her story time with this song, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. But she said the most important part of what this song has meant to people, one father, a large and comic gentleman, probably the class clown in high school, came to me and said, "I cannot thank you enough for teaching us this song." His son had major surgery in St. Louis and was in the hospital for weeks, and they sang that song every night. Then over a year ago, she writes, "I did the usual twinkle ending to my story time for two-year-olds. Nate and his mom, a former librarian where I worked, were there. And Nate stopped running around as soon as I turned the light down and put his finger up in the air so that he could twinkle." Then she writes, "That evening, Nate drowned in a pond near his apartment." This letter was so shocking to me, I kind of pressed, actually. "His mom asked me to sing Twinkle at the funeral. So I took my star wand, stood up in front of these people, and sang your version of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. That was one of the hardest yet most beautiful things I have ever done." You just get very touching letters like that of ways that the songs touch people's personal lives that you just couldn't imagine.
Kind of hard to comment after a story like that. But, you know, it just goes to how music helps us in every aspect of life. And we hope that you continue doing the wonderful work you're doing. We thank you for your time today. And thank you, Debbie, as well. You've been listening to Music and Learning with Marianne Harmon. Thanks for listening.
This program is produced by Jack Street Media and is part of the Affiliate Nanocasting Network. Thanks for listening.